A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the time came for Pentecost and it was fulfilled, they were all in one place together. And suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound, they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." The word of the Lord.
Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, how great you are. How many are your works, O Lord? The earth is full of your creatures. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You take away their breath, they die, returning to the dust from which they came. You send forth your Spirit, and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit, and renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord last forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. May my thoughts be pleasing to him. I will rejoice in the Lord. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God, who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. As a body is one, though it has many parts, and all the parts of the body, though many, are one body, so also Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free persons, and we were all given to drink of one Spirit. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed him his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm very happy to tell you and share with you that we have a new priest ordained for our diocese. Father Travis Seagraves was ordained yesterday, and Father Travis has been assigned close to us, Divine Mercy Parish in Massillon and St. Philip and James Parish in Canal Fulton. So, you know, now when you're ordained, you don't get a parish. I think you get half the county. That's just how things are working. But I understand that in Massillon there is quite a new Hispanic presence that is growing there, and Father Travis is fluent in Spanish, so he will be an asset there with Father Sheridan. He's also going to be with a good pastor. You know, it's so very important, your first assignment as a priest, that you have always a good pastor. Sometimes that does not happen, and it's like a baptism by fire. But when that happens, though, you become very seasoned and very, very quickly. But please keep Father Travis in your prayers. Now, today, when we hear about all the early disciples and apostles in the Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came down upon them, it's very interesting to find out where they went, or where the church tradition says where they went, because they were just men, 11 men who probably never would have left the immediate area of Palestine, probably were never outside of Galilee except Judea and Jerusalem. And these men were told to go to all the nations, and they were assured by the Lord, "Know that I am with you always until the end of time." So, tradition has it that Thomas wandered east through modern Iran and Afghanistan and went as far as Kerala, India. But Thomas did not go alone. He received the Holy Spirit. He went with the Lord. It was said that Peter traveled through northern Turkey and then made his way to Britain before eventually ending up in Rome. Peter had received the Holy Spirit. He traveled with the Lord. Andrew, it is said, traveled with the Scythians, the ancient ancestors of the Scots. So if you've ever been to Scotland, or if you're Scotch background, you know some of the golf courses in Scotland have the name and they honor St. Andrew. Andrew had received the Holy Spirit. He traveled with the Lord. James Alpheus, the second James on the list, went as far as Spain, then to Britain and to Ireland. James had received the Holy Spirit. He traveled with the Lord. Simon the Zealot brought his fire to Egypt, Cyrene, now Libya, and then the rest of northern Africa. Simon had received the Holy Spirit. He traveled with the Lord. Jude immediately went east of the Holy Land. Philip went to Scythia, and then to the region around the Black and Caspian Seas. Matthew went to Parthia, modern-day Iran, and then as far as west of India. Bartholomew went to Turkey. Matthias it said that he went to modern-day Romania. And then John may have traveled to France and also to Britain, although he probably was arrested in Ephesus, where he had cared for Mary, the Lord's mother and our mother. And we know that he was saved from death miraculously and eventually died peacefully in Turkey. He and the other apostles received the Holy Spirit, and they traveled with the Lord. Now, a miraculous event resulting in a miraculous change took place on that first Pentecost Sunday. 11 disciples who had experienced the risen Lord, but still stayed behind a barred door in that upper room. They felt the wind upon them, and they saw the tongues of fire over each of them. They no longer feared what would happen to them if they were to proclaim the gospel. They no longer feared. And if you have read some of the historical accounts on how some of the apostles died and were martyred, they were martyred most painfully, some of them. They spoke to the crowds at that first Pentecost. People heard their message, even those who could not speak Aramaic, the language that Jesus and the people of that area spoke. The word of God could not be constrained by that language. But so they went throughout the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And they proclaimed and received the Holy Spirit, and the Lord went with them. And see, so it's so important for us to realize that we also have received the Holy Spirit. When? Just a little reminder at our confirmation. Our confirmation was our personal Pentecost, just as our baptism was our personal Easter. Because we received his Spirit, the Lord is with us, wherever we go, whenever we go, to whom we go. And we also travel maybe to one section of the country, to another. Our backgrounds, we might be like Polish or Peruvian, Slovenian, German, Irish, whatever our nationality is. You know, we're Asian, Filipino. We are members of this church. We may retire here to this area. We may have moved here because of work. Maybe our relatives, our family, our parents came to the Canton area because of work. Wherever we go, no matter how long we stay, we are given that mandate to make disciples of all the nations. We are given the assurances that we are not alone because we have received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit walks with us. You know, life is full of change, as we know. It's full of new adventures. Even if you move from one house to another, from one side of town to the other, there will be new neighbors, a new condo association, always an adventure. But you are not alone. More than that, none of us are alone. We bring with us the one who told us to go and to make disciples of all the world. Maybe it takes nothing more than for you to be at a black block party or a beach party or the Greek festival, something, you know, after church. You're still letting the Spirit of the Lord speak to others, others who might say, we need God in our lives. That's the first important thing. So many people are looking for God, and they're looking for God, as the song goes, in all the wrong places. We need to choose the right place. And we run into people who say, well, I used to be Catholic. And they still are. But they haven't been to church in years. Don't just tell them about comeback Catholics or some group welcoming people back in the faith. You go and join with them, and they go with you, and they learn about the Lord and relearn about our faith in that meeting. It is so easy for us to make the huge mistake of viewing our faith as purely in historical terms. It's easy to view the events of salvation history as nothing more than history. Our personal celebrations of the birth of the Lord, Christmas and Easter and his death and resurrection, the ascension, the sending of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost, can all become reflections of the past and not celebrations if we don't allow it to have a personal impact on our lives. But truthfully, most of us Catholics, we don't do this, thankfully. We look to each celebration, each season, as an opportunity to grow, to continue to mature and grow closer to Christ. The Church gives us the Advent and Lent and Easter and Christmas and Pentecost. The Church gives us our choir, our music, our beautiful liturgy, the hymns that we sing at Mass. They all have a special meaning. And they all give joy to our present time. God has become one of us. He has saved us through his Son's sacrifice of obedience and love. And he remains with us as we carry on the mandate of Pentecost to make disciples of all the nations. You know, all joking aside, I was at the Greek Fest on Friday, and the priest there, Father Nicholas, he bought my lunch. And we were talking a little bit, and I says, Father, what's your, he has a PhD. And I says, what's your PhD in? He says, human psychology. I says, well, I says, if you study my case, you'll get another PhD. You know, so, but he said to me something very, very simple, but very profound. And he says, Father, things are getting very difficult, aren't they? And he's right. He was right. Because, you know, the Orthodox Church is our sister church. You know, they have the sacraments and they have the orders and they have everything just like how we do. So, you know, they minister. The priests, they're priests, they minister just how like we do. You know, but none of us, it's important today when we leave the church today, none of us have completed the mission that the Lord has entrusted to us. Even if we're retired, even if we're long retired, it's only from work. But we really never retire from the service of the Lord. A priest really never retires. He never really does, you know. So young and not so young. Today, for us, every day should be Pentecost. And we all go forward to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We go with the Lord. And for the gift of Pentecost is ultimately that Jesus' Spirit will be with us always. I want to conclude with just a wonderful poem. It was turned into a hymn. The Anglicans can turn anything into a beautiful hymn. But it was by an Anglican priest, Robert Herrick, 1591 to 1674. And this is the words that he wrote. I think this, just three stanzas, three verses. And I think this is what Pentecost really says, even to this day. In the hours of my distress, when temptations in me oppress, and when I my sins confess, sweet Spirit, comfort me. When I lie within my bed, sick in heart, and sick in head, and with doubts discomforted, sweet Spirit, comfort me. And when the house doth sigh and weep, and the world is drowned in sleep, yet mine eyes to the watch to keep, sweet Spirit, comfort me.